Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Follow along as I read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. Now, in 1979... I moved to Arkansas. I had left my position as the assistant superintendent of the Flint Rescue Mission up in Flint, Michigan, and spent a year working with one of Dad's sons, Russ, who had a Pepperidge Farm bread route. And he was getting rid of his bread route, and he wanted to start selling cookies. Archway cookies. All right, they're the ones that make the best windmill cookies. And if you like windmill cookies, the best raspberry cookies. Yes, and so he just didn't want to give up this route. He wanted to sell it and make some money off of it. Since the people that have those routes, and that's how it is for all the grocery stores, even for the Walmarts and whatever, the baked goods get there by somebody who has purchased that route. And so I was kind of helping Russ out, and he was kind of helping me out, and I handled that route for almost a year. And then one of Dad's oldest son, Dennis, had a biomedical engineering firm in Arkansas, and he said, you know, why don't you come down here and go to work for me? And that's how I got out of Michigan down to the South. And it's interesting, if as I sit back and I look over my life, how God just kind of directs, and even though I might not have been very happy about the situation while I was in the middle of it, now I can look back and see how God has brought me to this place in my life. And every step was just part of His plan, part of the journey that He had laid out before me. And so I decided, I told Dennis, you know, I don't know if I would like the job or not, so why don't I take a couple of months and just work the job with you. And so I left my family in Michigan, and I moved down, and I was staying with Dennis and his wife, Imadel, and the two boys. And Dennis and I would go out to work every day. And we were together probably 18 hours a day, sometimes 5, 6, on occasion 7 days a week. And we were going constantly. It was one of those jobs where you might say goodbye to your family on Monday morning and be back Monday night, or you might be back Monday night a week later, because things would happen and different hospitals would need our services, and we would just go from one to another to the next, and sometimes work through the night. And so Dennis and I, we spent our time together. Most of the time was spent traveling. And so we would discuss things, and we would listen to Christian tapes. That was back when there was such a thing as cassette tapes. All of us remember cassette tapes. My granddaughters have no idea what a cassette tape is. You know, they were born in the time of CDs, and now CDs are on their way out. We have MP3 players and little tiny things. So it's amazing how technology changes. But it was interesting that after a couple of months of traveling together, I found that Dennis and I could have complete conversations without saying a word. I mean, we just spent so much time together. We'd hear something on the radio, and I'd look at Dennis, and he'd look at me, and I'd Uh-huh. And yeah, and you know, we would just, why? Because we knew each other so well, and we knew how each other thought and what each other's feelings were about whatever the subject was, that words didn't have to be said. We just knew. And husband and wives get that way. I know Terry and I are that way sometimes. And, you know, it's the times that you spend together. If you have really good friends, sometimes something happens and you don't need to say anything because the other person is automatically just thinking the response. And you know that. And at that special intimacy comes when you have spent time, a lot of time, with somebody. And we've been talking about the spiritual gifts, in specific what we call the ascension gifts. And we call these gifts the ascension gifts because when Jesus ascended, the word tells us that in ascending, he gave gifts to man. He gave us what we needed to get along without him being here. And the main way that these gifts are given is through the Holy Spirit. And we believe that when you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that He is the earnest of our salvation. How many of you have ever put a down payment down on a house or something like that? That's earnest money. Amen? And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God says, I own you. You are mine. And one of these days, I want to bring you home to live with me in glory. But until that time, here's the earnest of that salvation. I've given you my Holy Spirit. That's my mark that you belong to me. And the Holy Spirit then gives gifts, which are great. We've discussed what it means to receive a gift, to possess a gift, to work in that gift. But also, something that I think is even more important is when we spend that time in fellowship with God, whether we're reading His Word, or we're praying, or you know, whatever we are doing, we are getting to know even His very voice. Amen? You know, Terry and I have this little puppy, Bo. And I would like to tell you that Bo knows my voice. In fact, he does. But Bo is like a lot of us. We might hear God's voice. He just decides to ignore God's, you know, Bo, come over here. And he looks back and he just goes on his merry little way. All right? Do we not do that with our Heavenly Father sometimes? A lot of times. Amen. But we're talking about the effect of being close to our Heavenly Father, being in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and how those things, it just kind of rubs off on you. The Bible tells us that when Moses went to the Holy Mount, and he was with God up on the mountain, and God was giving the Ten Commandments. What happened to Moses? What was peculiar about him when he came back down that mountain? Who can tell me? His face shone with the Shekinah glory of God. Amen? So just being in the presence of God changed Moses. And for us, being in the presence of God changes us. And we were going through, we started this last week, on what we call the fruit of the Spirit. This is simply what happens when you're spending time with God. And last week we looked at that the fruit of the Spirit is love. We love in a way that no one else can love because we have experienced God's totally unselfish love in our lives. We have true joy. Joy that doesn't depend on circumstances, but the joy of knowing that my God is in control, and even though I may not understand with this puny little mind what is going on in my life, I can still have that joy in knowing that my God is in control. And peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness. And today we're going to look at the last two, which is gentleness. to be gentle with each other and self-control. And, you know, when our Heavenly Father deals with us, one of the things that He deals with us in is gentleness. You know, when Terry kind of fell out of her chair, and I was so frustrated with her, and I'm not proud of being frustrated, but what was the first thing out of my mouth? How do you fall out of a chair? Because I was just so overwhelmed with you know, the things that are going on. How do you fall out of the chair? And I must admit that I was not being very gentle with her. I was exasperated with her. But then to think that no matter how much we may get exasperated with each other, how much more do you think the Heavenly Father could get exasperated with us? Amen? After giving us all that He has. I mean, everything we need to know about fulfilling His Word is in that book.
Amen?
Amen? But we choose to ignore it. We choose to not go there and find out. And then we just stumble through life. And how many times must the Heavenly Father just kind of be exasperated with us? And finally, I had to remind myself that my beloved wife is hurting. And this is not the time to be exasperated with her. This is the time to be gentle with her. And so I went to pick her up. She says, no, don't help me. I don't want you to hurt your back or anything like that. And I had to remind her. I said, look, I'm your husband. It's my responsibility to pick you up when you fall. It's my responsibility to love you like the Lord loves the church. And so I picked her up and put her back in her little chair. And so the gentleness is how we should be responding to each other. We may deserve a good chewing out, but as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we choose to be gentle with each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And about the time we get to thinking about, don't you know how exasperating you are? We need to let the Holy Spirit remind us of how exasperating we are to Him. Amen? And so we can learn to be gentle with each other because that's how God chooses to respond to us. Amen? Aren't you glad that God is always there to pick you up when we fall? Amen? We can do the stupidest things. And we know that God has to be... He didn't just do that, did He? All right? She didn't just do what I think she did, but He chooses to respond to us in gentleness. And because we have seen what gentleness is, we can show it to others. Amen? And the last thing that Paul is talking about here in Galatians is self-control. Self-control. Something, let's see, what's another word for self-control? Discipline. Ooh, dirty word, nasty word. Self-discipline, self-control. What is discipline? Discipline is doing what you know you need to do it, even though it's the last thing on earth you want to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I can't tell you how many times our daughter and son-in-law's dog has relieved herself on the tile in our living room. And I've said, I'm just going to let that sit there and let them clean it up when they get home. You know, no, what do? I clean it up. Okay. Now, do I want to clean it? Do I enjoy cleaning it up? Moms, you've all raised little kids. They get sick and make messes. They don't even have to be sick to make messes. They just make messes. All right? But what do you have to do? You have to clean it up. Is it any fun? No. Is it a thankless job? Yes, it is. When you clean it up, is it going to get right back the way it was in 2 or 3 hours? Yep. And you're going to have to do it all over again? Yep. All right, but that's what self-discipline is. That's what self-control is. That's doing what you know needs to be done, even if you don't want to do it. The illustration that I was talking about earlier, where we did the 10, you know, deep knee bends or whatever, the guy was actually giving an illustration about discipline, self-control, and how many people made the commitment or the New Year's resolution to get back in shape. And so we did the 10 deep knee bends and figured out, you know what, I probably am not in as good a shape as I should be. Discipline is doing what needs to be done. We wake up on Sunday morning and perhaps we didn't sleep at all last night because we were chasing after sick ones or whatever the situation may be. But we wake up on Sunday morning and what do? We go to church. Amen? That's what we do. Amen. You know, when I was staying with Dennis and Imadel back there in the late 70s, when I was staying in their house, when they got up on Sunday morning, I got up on Sunday morning. They're going to church, I'm going to church. And that's just how I've always lived my life. Even when I wasn't a Christian, I still went up, you know, got up and went to church. That's how I had been trained. And why did I do that? Because my mom and dad got us up. My dad never dropped us off at church. My dad took us to church. Amen? And I learned through that example that's what you do as a dad. You take your kids, bring them with you to church. And that's what self-discipline is, doing what needs to be done, even though you may not feel like it. Amen. Well, we can do that. We can be a witness to our next door neighbor. We can raise our children in the love and the admonition of the Lord. We can do all these things because we have self-control. And self-control is Jesus hanging on that cross and telling those, don't you know that if I wanted to, I could call forth 10 legions. Isn't it 10 legions? Isn't that what he said? I can call forth a whole mess of angels. And you guys would be toast. Amen? But Jesus was the perfect illustration of self-control because he knew we needed a Savior. He knew he needed to hang on that cross and to give up his life for us because nobody else was going to do it. Amen? And so we, as the children of God, because we have seen our God illustrate and exemplify such self-control, self-discipline, we can do what has to be done. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So these are just some of the things that happen when we hang out with Jesus. When we hang out with God and the Holy Spirit and we hang out with each other and our desire is the same, to know more about Jesus. And so next week we will finish up on the last lesson of the ascension gifts, what God has provided us with. And you're going to say, that's a gift? Because did you know there's a gift of administrations? What does an administrator do? He just makes the thing work.
Yep.
Okay? And the churches today, if you had to, you know, categorize them, what are they? They're a business. You have money coming in, you've got money going out, payroll and all these things. And God has even provided the gift of administrations to handle that. So that's just a little foretaste, you know, saying, well, I don't know if I want that. Well, praise God, that gift is available to those that do have that responsibility. So let's close in prayer. Again, Heavenly Father.
Morning comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.